You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
Good grief, it's a brand new month. Have you noticed that? It's November, for heaven's sake. It's the 1st of November, pinch punch, first day of the month. Welcome to this morning's breakfast show with me, Jerry D. We're on 89.3, of course, Cool FM. Smoothest place on your radio dial. Well, normally after 10 o'clock at any rate. Right, I tell you what, we've got a birthday for today, so let's get on with that. 1st of November, an English artist, his name was L.S. Lowry. He was born on this day, the year was 1887. As I mentioned, English artist, many of his drawings and paintings depict a place called Salford and surrounding areas. Now, this is including a place called Pendlebury, where he lived and worked for over 40 years. He had a distinctive style of painting and is best known for urban landscapes peopled with human figures, often referred to as matchstick men. And I'll tell you what, there's also a song about that as well. But for now,
good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Wait a minute. Shake your arm. Then use your palm. Stay on the scene. I like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling. Shoot your bone. Get it together. Right on, right on. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up. Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
machine. Get on up. Get up.
Get on up.
Taste.
Get on up.
A piano.
Get on up.
Taste.
Get on up.
A piano.
There we go. Yes, that is coming from Scotland, that one. The Fratellis, a Scottish rock band from Glasgow, formed back in 2005. And they've done pretty well for themselves. Another one of their favourites, or my favourite of theirs, is a song called Chelsea Dagger, which we've played for a while. Also, Whistle for the Choir. But bringing us in this morning, it was Mr. James Brown and Get On Up. Well, tell you what, come on, it is time to get up. We're going to get you in the shower in a minute, but first of all...
Wake up your sleepy head. Put on some clothes, shake up your bed. Put another log on the fire for me. I made some breakfast and coffee. Look out my window, what do I see? A crack in the sky and a hand reaching down to me. All the nightmares came today. It looks as though they're here to stay. What are we coming to? No room for me, no fun for you. I think about a world to come where the books were found by the golden ones, written in pain, written it all by a puzzled man who questioned what we were here for. All the strangers came today. It looks as though they're here. Faces in golden rays. Don't kid yourself, they belong to you. They're the start of the coming race. The other's a bitch, we finished our news. Homo sapiens have outgrown their use. This came today, and it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, you pretty things. Don't you know?
David Bowie, yes, and oh, you pretty things. And by the way, I forgot to say WTW, didn't I? Yes, welcome to Wednesday, boys and girls. It is Wednesday. Just getting back to Oh, You Pretty Things for a minute. Of course, written and performed there by David Bowie. Released on his 1971 album, which was called Hunky Dory. It was the first song he wrote for the album. He recorded the song as a demo before giving it to Peter Noon, lead singer of the Herman's Hermits, who decided to release it as his debut solo single and featuring Bowie on the piano. Right, time on The Breakfast Show. We're just a few seconds away from this. Yep, it's time to get you all spruced up and ready for waiting. A little bit of news for you. The sun's shining. Ready?
Thank you.
there's a good one for the shower, isn't it? Dancing on the Ceiling. And that's Lionel Richie, of course. And out you get to where it is you're going this morning. And if you can get there, we'll keep an eye on and see what's happening today, whether we've got any closures or not. And if we can, we'll tell you where they're going to be as well. Dancing on the Ceiling, Lionel Richie, written by him, together with Carlos Rios and Mike Frenchick. And it was on his, his third studio album, if I remember. I remember the same name, Dancing on the Ceiling. Right, if you are keeping an eye on the time, we're 20 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. A busy little morning this morning. It is Wednesday. Andreas has just told us he'll be joining us later on today. Couldn't join us last week because of the issues on the streets, but I think we're going to be talking about the movie he saw he was going to talk to us about last week. I'll dig that out and tell you what the name is later on. And also in the last hour of this morning's program, probably around about 9:25, we're going to link up with the vessel, the Plastic Odyssey, which is here. I think she's right down there in Coronado at the moment. We're going to be linking up with them, and we're going to be talking about their project. And, of course, what's that about? So you've probably guessed, it's about getting rid of all the crap in the sea. Yes, all that muck and plastic. Thus, the Plastic Odyssey. So busy little morning. And great music, of course, going right through until 10 o'clock.
All the people got to get the ride.
go. Yes, that's Freddie Mercury, of course, and let's get it on. Time-wise, we are just a few seconds away from 24 and a half minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, and it is, yes, it's a brand new month. It is the 1st of November, but we've got a long weekend coming up, a short week next week, short week the week after. Life can't be bad, can it? Of course, this week's short as well, because we've got Friday off. Right, now I mentioned when we opened up this morning's programme, Ellis Lowry, born on this day in the year of 1887, an English artist, and he had a distinctive style of painting, and is best known for his urban landscapes, peopled with human figures often referred to as matchstick men. And I also mentioned that there was a song about that. It's called Pictures of Matchstick Men, and it was the first hit single by the British rock band Status Quo, then named Status Quo. I love it. It was a song. It was released on the 5th of January of 1968 was when that came out. It got to number 7 on the British charts, number 8 in Canada, number 12 on the US Billboard Hot 100 as well, becoming their only top 40 single in the United States. Francis Rossi confirmed on DVD 2 of the pictures set that was it was originally intended to be a B-side to Gentleman Joe's Sidewalk Cafe. Bet they're glad they didn't do that. But anyway, according to the writer of the song, Campbell wrote the song. He said, "I wrote it on the toilet. I'd gone there for, not for the usual reasons, but to get away from the wife and the mother-in-law. I used to go into this narrow, frizzing toilet, because they used to be outside as well in those days, and sit there for hours until they finally went out. I got 3/4 of the song finished in that toilet. The rest I finished in the lounge." And the matchstick men referred to are, of course, in the paintings of L.S. Lowry. Pictures of matchstick men.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
As we make our way to this year's holiday season, a great time, of course, to spend with family and friends. Well, let's not also forget the less fortunate. So why not have a great time and help others as well? The British Charitable Foundation is happy to announce the 20th Annual British Haul. It's going to be on Saturday the 2nd of December at the Miramar Intercontinental Hotel. Come along and join us for that champagne reception, a sit-down dinner, open bar, DJ and dancing until you drop. And you can have all of that for a donation of $135 per person. Ladies, do come glamorous. And men, well, see if you can find that black tie. All you've got to do, if you're interested in tickets, you can go directly to the booking form at www.bit.ly/2023BritishBallTickets. Or for any queries or questions, you can also email the organisers at info@britishballpanama.com. Come along, join us, have a great time, and give help to others as well. Thought about smart investing? You've got to check out Riccio & Associates. They've got over 30 years of experience guiding folks just like you. Start with $5,000. Get control, low cost and total liquidity. Reach out on WhatsApp at 1-954-881-3398 or swing by the website yoinviertobien.com. Your financial future, it's in great hands.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Don't you forget about me. Don't
There we go, two in a row. That last one there was Train and Drive by Simple Minds. Don't You Forget About Me. And time-wise, we're 30 minutes, and that's 13 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Top of the hour, we'll take a look at some of the local news this morning. We'll also keep an eye on what, if anything, is happening outside with the traffic. Coming in the next hour, probably in around about half an hour's time, we've got Andreas with us this morning. He's managed to make it. Killers of the Flower Moon is the movie he's going to be talking about today. And in the last hour, don't forget, we're going to be linking up with Simon Bernard, the president and co-founder of Plastic Odyssey, which is here in Panama right now. We're talking about that and what is it that the Plastic Odyssey is aiming to accomplish. So we'll find all that out a little bit later on the program. Meanwhile, great music, of course, going right through until 10 o'clock, like this one. Bob Seger, Silver Bullet Band, and Night Moves.
Tall, could have used a few pounds. Tight pants, points, hollering out. She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes and points all her own, sudden way up high. Way up firm and high. Out past the cornfields where the woods got heavy. Out in the back seat of my 60 Chevy. Working on mysteries without any clues. Working on a night moves. Trying to make some front page driving news. Working on a night moves. In the summertime. Some high in the sky song. We were just young and restless and bored, living by the sword. And we'd steal away every chance we could, to the back room, to the alley, or the trusty wood. I used her, she used me, but neither one cared. We were getting our share, working on a nightmare. Trying to lose the awkward teenage blues. Working on a nightmare. And it was summertime. Sweet summertime, summertime. The lightning, yeah. Waited on the thunder. Waited on the thunder. I woke last night to the sound of thunder. How far off, I said. Started humming a song from 1962. Ain't it funny how the night moves. When you just don't seem to have as much to lose. Strange how the night moves with autumn closing. Night moves.
Night moves. Come on.
singer-songwriter Bob Seger, and it was the lead single, that one from his ninth studio album of the same name. That was in 1976, released on Capitol Records. Seger wrote the song as a coming-of-age tale about adolescent love and adult memory of it. Must have a good memory. It was based on Seger's own teenage love affair he experienced in the early 1960s. It took him 6 months to write the song, and it was recorded quickly at Nimbus 9 Studios in Toronto, Ontario. Great song. Right, time on The Breakfast Show. We are 6 minutes. That's before the hour of 8 o'clock. And let me see. But, oh, yes, Yasmin has just told me Calle 50 apparently is closed at the moment. Calle 50 is closed. This is in front of the Soho shopping mall. Okay? So bear that in mind. If you're out and about in the traffic and you've got something you can tell us that we can share with everybody, our WhatsApp number is 677-188-22. 677-188-22. Okay? Right. Now for something completely different.
I've got a sparkling pair of eyes.
There we go. That is the Diffays there. And I do like their music. And that one is called Garbo Goodbye. And don't forget, by the way, tomorrow is All Souls Day. And it's all going to be nice, smooth, relaxing music tomorrow. No house party tomorrow. Take us up to the top of the hour.
Come on in, I'll be.
we go. That is the Showstoppers. Into nothing but a house party. And that's just about brought us to the top of the hour.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
From waking up the hardest, and every day it felt the longest. Oh, blessings were unwanted, constantly haunted. Then you opened up.
Windows, and that is Take That.
Opened up my windows.
And very good it is, too. And I tell you what, still to come in this hour of this morning's program, we're going to take another piece of music. We'll check in with Ingrid, and also we've got Andreas with us this morning, and we're going to be looking at the movies. And the movie for today is called Killers of the The Flower Moon. Oh, there obviously isn't one then. Right. Life's been good. If you're awake and you've opened your eyes and you're up and about, life's been good. Joe Walsh.
Jerry, hey Yaz, how you doing? Well, it's here, November 1st. Oh, White Rabbits, happy days. Happy post-Halloween. Wow, quiet night for us. We had some marches happening up here in El Valle, and I think everybody was over there. We only had a handful, maybe 20 people come, 20, 25 come through our house of horror. which was pretty fun. We enjoyed very much sitting out there. And the fact that it was a foggy night made it even more creepy. So it was a lot of fun. Been seeing a lot of stuff going on in the news about the mining companies. It's getting kind of crazy out here. We don't know what's going to happen. It's getting to the point where my sister is supposed to come in November the 22nd for Thanksgiving to spend some time here with me in El Valle. I'm not sure if that's going to be able to happen because with everything going on, I got to be able to get into the city, pick her up and get back and, you know, tool her around and whatnot. So it's been kind of crazy. We got to be careful, folks. We don't want to hurt each other. We just want to make sure that the government does what's right. So as for the, it is so wet this morning and everything has just got a huey dew on it. That's amazing. And today is November 1st. So supposedly we have all these holidays coming up that are going to be a little short-staffed and probably short for not a lot of parades going on. We did have them practicing up here, so I'm not sure if they were practicing for the protest or if they were practicing for the march. But we have some beautiful people, and they always march on one side of the road. They never march on both sides of our road. You know, Ovalle has a two-lane road, one going in, one going out. So it's very nice that they only march on one side, allowing others to pass, you know, because we are a gentle people up here. We're not quite as rough and tough as you all down there in Panama City. Well, you guys be safe. Be careful, please. Let's get through this holiday. Let's get this resolved. We're all tired of the protests, but we need to get something done. Until tomorrow, back to you in the studio.
When I'm lying in the arms of the woman I love, I'm completely at peace with the world. And the dark clouds around me that often surround me just fall away in. I'm not scared anymore. When I can't sleep at night and I just stare at the moon, listening to your beating heart, to know that you're with me and the love that you give me keeps me from falling apart. I'm not scared anymore. You are near. You are here. When I think about the way who've gone before, well, I believe they can see us, believe they are with us, hear every word that we speak. I'm not scared. I'm not scared.
peace with the world.
Well, there we go. Not scared anymore from Chris the Berg. That means Halloween must be over. However, from now on, well, the next sort of, 33, 34 minutes, it's going to be like, skiing, really. Like a, you know, when you do slalom skiing on the snow.
Where it's amazing?
No, it's downhill all the way.
No, it's just amazing and an amazing experience full of powder snow and great times with a beautiful sunny day. Oh, man. I can imagine it right now.
You're right.
The amazing experience.
You're right.
I'm just saying. I am agreeing with you. It is like
skiing. You've been sort of sitting here for what, half an hour?
I have been here for like an hour and a half.
Yes, and it tells. Yes, it's a rum bottle. It's okay.
Yeah, no. I set up my little workstation here.
Yes,
in your studio.
With bleeps and all sorts of things.
Really nice.
Yes.
Really nice.
Been. Why didn't you make it last week, by the way?
Because I was unavailable to go through people.
Ah, yes.
I have decided not to run through people with my car. So
very wise.
You know, I try to make smart choices.
Really?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Not always.
Yes. Well, we must have a caveat in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice on toast, by the way, caviar.
I'm not a fan.
No, okay.
Not a fan. I'm more of a peanut butter guy.
With jelly as well.
A little bit, yeah.
I've never had that.
Oh, you've never had a PB&J?
Peanut and jelly, no.
Really?
It's never sort of appealed to me, really.
Wow.
For some strange reason.
It's always, like, there is never a wrong time for a nice peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Anyway, how you been?
Good. I've been good. Working from home, mostly. It's been a little difficult.
This isn't home.
The kids. That's why I set up my station here.
Okay.
It's less noise here than at home.
So I mean, what do you think? I mean, the last week has been pretty hectic, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been. A little reminiscent of the pandemic, a little bit.
Yeah, funny enough, yeah. I said exactly the same to Christina. I said, oh, you know, this reminds me of when we were sort of locked up at home. And
yeah, felt a little bit.
And everywhere you went out in the streets, it was quiet. You know, nobody's cars were running around.
So nice.
But of course, you know, everybody's been out knocking their pans and their pilas or whatever.
We used to do that a lot in Venezuela back in the day.
Yeah, they still do, apparently.
Probably. They're still since 1998. Still rocking those pans.
It got to number one in the charts as well.
Oh, man.
But I was saying, you know, seriously, though, I mean, here in Paitia.
Yeah.
It sounds
ruckus.
No, it's ruckus, but it sounds good. Everybody here has...
It's melodic.
Everybody here has kusana.
There you go.
And it sounds much better.
Oh, it's fancy. Yeah,
it's fancy.
Fancy pants.
Fancy pants.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go. Oh. Is that the term?
Anyway, we're going to... Because you did send us a movie to look at last week.
Yeah, so because I went to the movies. I did my homework.
This was in the movies?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
I never heard of it.
It is a Scorsese film.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
It's a great start.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely long.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours and a half.
Is it good to sleep?
No. You probably will. It's a slow film.
Mm-hmm.
There's even an issue going on in the States because some theaters are doing intermission. But Scorsese and the studio are suing them because they're changing the experience of the movie.
Well, what they should do then is charge Scorsese, whatever it is.
Scorsese?
Thank you very
much.
Thank you. They should charge him extra because the film's so long.
Oh, don't worry. They lost enough money. It's fine. And they lost a bunch of money.
Oh, it was that good.
The movie's great, but it's a movie, and this goes to... It's a very, very deep, long movie, slow movie. It's based on real events in the States.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Americana. It's very about the States. So if you... International markets, it's going to probably bomb.
Mm-hmm.
It did. But again, it's for you, for example, this movie is Apple TV Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to come in Apple TV Plus, I'm assuming, in a month or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's worth watching at home. It really is. Especially if you're a movie fan and a Scorsese fan, which a lot of people are, I think that's the way to go with it. I've heard for a couple of people that they should have made like a mini series, like a four episode mini series. That would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
money-wise, like economic, mm-hmm. economic-wise, because people don't want to sit around 3 hours and a half if there's no, like, blue aliens or superheroes.
No blue aliens?
No blue aliens and superheroes, no.
Any flowers?
Actually, not a lot, no.
Is a lot of murders. Is there a moon?
Killers of the Flower Moon is a term used by Native Americans, the Osage, okay. which is the tribe that gets slaughtered in this movie, I guess. Okay. Not slaughtered, murdered, mm-hmm. the right term.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Well, let's take a look, shall we?
Yeah. So anyways, as we mentioned, directed by Martin Scorsese, based mm-hmm. on a book that is based on a nonfiction book, meaning a real-life story, mm-hmm. starring two heavyweights.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Leo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fans of both?
Yes, I am, actually.
There you go. Great, great actors. Probably one of the best.
Yeah, yeah. And De Niro especially.
Yeah. Plot, Jerry. Give us the plot.
Okay. When oil is discovered in the 1920s, Oklahoma, on the Osage Nation land, the Osage people are murdered, one by one, until the FBI steps in to unravel the mystery.
There you go. Funny enough, though, back in the day, back then, the FBI was just recently formed, and mm-hmm. it was not mm-hmm. the Federal Bureau of Investigation, it was the Bureau of Investigation,
okay.
the BOI.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was one of the first big cases they had to handle. Let's go with the positives.
You got a lot of positives.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Two great actors giving a stellar performance. I mean, mm-hmm. let's be honest. These are, as I mentioned before, one of the best actors we have working today.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, again, great in this film. The plot is not about the murder mystery, but the greed of men and the length they're willing to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like graphic murder. It's not a murder mystery, per se.
Right.
Because we know who the murderers are. We see the murders unfold.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it's amazing how they go about it. And how, well, the Old West kind of style. It was nonchalant. Oh, we murder this person because it gains us this amount of money or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it with no remorse whatsoever, which is interesting. Lily Gladstone holds her own against two of the all-time greats. She shows strength, love, contempt, rage, sadness, all of it in a mm-hmm. very subtle way. Lily Gladstone plays Leo DiCaprio's wife, Molly
okay.
Burkhart.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And she's obviously the lead actress in this film. And she's part of the Osage tribe.
Was she been in before?
Nothing.
Really?
It was nothing known, per se. She was mm-hmm. about to give up acting, so she got this role.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it can't be bad for her, can it?
It will not be. I'm assuming an mm-hmm. Oscar nomination will be on its way.
Really?
Yeah, I think she's really good. Yeah. And again, she's mm-hmm. going against really heavyweights on
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she's super subtle. She plays everything not big or her emotions come big at certain points, but how she delivers line and how she talks to other characters is very subtle. I'm assuming very Native American. They're mm-hmm. very much mm-hmm. in keen with nature and the, mm-hmm. the environment, and mm-hmm. she's really good. I was so impressed. Scorsese takes its time and gives the characters time to develop, so the audience really feels connected to what's happening. It's a 3-hour-and-a-half movie.
Mm-hmm.
He really goes about to like presenting these people, understanding their motivations, understanding why they do things, understanding and seeing them regret their decisions, and even having doubt if to do something or not do something. It's really like a character-driven film,
mm-hmm.
heavy,
mm-hmm.
heavy character-driven film. The absurdity of those times really makes the film funny. Some laugh-out-loud moments. It feels like a Coen Brothers movie. This is, honestly, there's really fun moments in this film. There's particularly one moment where a man who is just interested in the Osage money marries an Osage woman to get that money, and then goes to a clerk and says he wants to adopt the kids, and the woman's kids, and the guy asks him why, like, well, so they can have a father, I guess, but if they die, I would get their money. And the guy asks him, like, it seems like you want to adopt them so you can kill them. It might, does it? And it just so... He says it with no expression whatsoever, and you see the face, and you just laugh out loud, like, wow, this is ridiculous how the Old West used to
mm-hmm.
go.
Mm-hmm.
But this has a lot of moments like that in those movies, and really reminded me of Coen Brothers movies. Robert De Niro's character is the master of manipulation. As an audience member, you can't stand the character, but his charisma makes you understand why he had everybody at the palm of his hand. Like, wow, he exudes charisma. Like, He is a friend, quote unquote, to the Osage people. They adore him. He donates money to the cause and stuff. And he's the mastermind behind everything. It's just remarkable stuff. The Osage depiction, their customs, way of life, community, etc., seems very authentic. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed this. There's a lot of dialect in this movie. Like, they speak their dialect. Leo DiCaprio had to learn some of the dialect because the character in real life married an Osage woman and learns the language.
So he plays...
He plays the Molly Burkhart's husband.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest Burkhart. But it's just very... It seemed very authentic. I haven't heard anything from the Native American community about mm-hmm. it. I did hear from one actress and said that... That the movie is focused on the white people in the movie and not the actual people getting murdered, which is a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it felt very authentic. The face of all FBI agents while they're investigating is priceless. The whole time, it's a, I can't believe these criminals are so dumb face. Which pretty much acts as an avatar to the audience. And that's the thing. The FBI starts investigating this, and they're talking to these people, and they're like, and they're lying to their faces, and the FBI is like, really, Matt? It's like, can you be so dumb? And they just go about it. It's just remarkable. And those are the moments that feels like a Coen Brothers movie, where some characters are so dumb, and they don't even know it. And the FBI is the avatar for the audience. It's really remarkable stuff. I really enjoyed that part.
Okay.
Let's go with the negatives.
Yeah, not many.
No. The film looks good, but not amazing. For a 200-plus million budget, I expected more. I tried to go back, and Scorsese does have, like, really beautiful films. I'm thinking of Raging Bull right now. But his movies are not so focused on, like, beautiful cinematography. Like, if you think of movies, for example, Denis Villeneuve, the director of Dune and Arrival and stuff like that, he is really, like, a picture-perfect guy. Like, his cinematography, Roger Deakins' cinematography, is beautiful. Scorsese has never really focused on this. He does beautiful stuff, and the movie looks amazing, but it's not like, wow, this is... And Coen Brothers are the same. Coen Brothers really focus on details. I don't think Scorsese does this, and this movie could have used that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Some weird cameos by very famous actors that distract from the plot more than anything else. You get a cameo from John Lithgow, you get a cameo from Brendan Fraser, and from little moments like that, and you're like, I don't understand why this person is doing this. I'm assuming they got a call from Scorsese. He was like, sure, I'll do a scene for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Scorsese film.
Mm-hmm.
But from an audience perspective, you're like, why is John Lithgow here? Or why is Brendan Fraser, the newly Oscar winner for The Whale, is doing one scene, having two lines, and that's it. Like, it's weird. It took me out of the film because, oh, there's Brendan Fraser instead of focusing on that character. The fact that the Osage never really suspects who's behind the killings seems implausible. And this was one of the critiques from the Native American community. Like, it seemed like, man, how do you not know or defend yourself of what's going on? They are murdering your tribe, and people involved in this are... And you're still, like, letting them go, and you're still not suspecting who it really is. Who really is behind everything. It felt a little like they cannot be though that naive. It's very long and slow. Probably not going to be a runaway box office success. I said that before the numbers came in, and I was right. The movie bombed, especially for a big budgeted film like this, like 200 million plus film. It made maybe 14
really?
opening weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did not do well. It's 3 hours and a half. It's long and slow. It is a character-driven film. And to be honest, Scorsese hasn't... The last Scorsese movie that made money for the investors was probably Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
He's just from another time. Like, I see. Like, I would not be surprised if he does a miniseries for HBO.
But when they're getting the financing for things like that, I mean, 200 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Just because it's Martin Scorsese.
100% it's that. 100%. There's nobody else would.
But they know he keeps losing money.
Because he might get Oscars. Maybe that will give him a boost in, like, video on demand. I don't know how it goes by then. But it's Scorsese. Like, I don't see anybody saying no to Scorsese to make a film that whatever he wants to do. Like, he's probably one of the best directors ever to have a movie. He's in a short list with Steven Spielberg, Stanley Kubrick. Like, of course, he's in there. And
Alfred Hitchcock.
Alfred Hitchcock. 100%.
Yeah.
So they give him the money, man. He gets the money, but I would put money that he's going to try to make a more audience-friendly film next.
Mm-hmm.
I would suspect.
Superhero.
No, not that, but maybe a more like a Wolf of Wall Street kind of thing, where it's a laugh-out-loud movie, it's a outrageous film, and people enjoy it.
All right, we're going to take a music break. We'll be right back. There we go, it's an instrumental from The Shadows. Let's go back in time. It's called FBI. It comes from 1961.
There you go.
1961. And, because they used to be the backing group as well for our equivalent of Elvis in those days.
Are you a fan of Westerns? I had to ask. Of Western films?
Movies?
No. Yeah. No. Never like John Wayne and stuff like that?
No, I mean, I guess the only time I ever watched things like that was when I was a little kid. The Lone Ranger and stuff like that.
Because this is a big Western film.
I suppose it is, but I mean, it's not a Western like Cowboys and Indians, is it? Well, in a way, I suppose.
It literally is.
But not like the sort of like...
Not the stereotypical
traditional
thing.
Type.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's amazing, in this movie they show the Osage. They made so much money. Because what happened was, and the story is, the government moved them to Oklahoma. They took them out of their land and sent them to Oklahoma and set up a reserve there.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a deal like, okay, whatever we found here is ours. And what ended up happening is there was a bunch of oil under their land, and they became incredibly millionaires. And they were Indians just riding in coats and cars, and they were very luxurious living with them. And that was the thing. And so the white people started marrying them to get that money, that inheritance. That's how it worked. It's ridiculous how horrible we are as human beings.
And not so much has changed, really.
No. Anyways, final comments on this film.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. An amazing film that won't be seen by a lot of people. Martin Scorsese, probably one of the best directors of all time, makes another crime-filled adult drama with both of his longtime collaborators. Leo DiCaprio, this is the sixth film he's done with Scorsese.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
De Niro, this is the ninth film he's done with Scorsese.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And together make a great film. A couple of things that are against it. It's very long, almost 3.5 hours. And it's a very American story, so markets outside the U.S. won't really connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my thinking
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very American story, obviously, because it's based on their history. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be that. I think people that are Scorsese fans and film fans will watch it, but I don't know if anybody else will give it the time of day.
Is that the kind of thing, really, that because you say it's based on a true story,
yeah.
that you know, Netflix would do over about 3 or 4 episodes and call it a docuseries?
Maybe, yeah. I think it would have been a huge hit on Netflix, for example. Mm-hmm. If you do this 4 episodes and it's starring De Niro, well, and Apple TV owns the rights for it, so they could have done this. They could have mm-hmm. done mm-hmm. 4 series mm-hmm. there and kill it, but they didn't. And Apple TV is changing their strategy like a lot. They just sold their whole animation deal with Skydance,
uh-huh.
and they sold it to Netflix. Like they're changing their strategy, like taking a big swing at something else. Let's see how it goes on. Netflix is, by the way, killing everybody else.
Yeah.
They are, like, I think everybody else showed their white, they waved their white flag, and they're like, fine, you be the streaming mm-hmm. platform. And they're getting bigger. Warner Brothers, who are the people that do Max, the streaming service Max, mm-hmm. they're already selling content to them.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out HBO shows on Netflix already. Disney is, I'm sure they're going to soon license content to them again. They're gonna be like him.
Well, the thing is, it comes back to the same thing I always said, you know, is that I'm not gonna pay X amount of people because they have a streaming service and there's something I wanna watch. And the thing is, Netflix has such a diverse, catalogue of what you wanna watch. I mean, you've got the TV shows.
Yeah.
You've got British TV shows, things like Glow Up, and I don't know if you ever watched any of them, but they're really still quite good. Another one is, I think it's Blow Up, where they do glass making things for the competitions like that. They've got some car shows on there. They've got everything and anything of such a diverse content that I want to watch. If I want to watch a horror movie, I can watch it. If I want to watch an animation, if I want to, you know. I mean, they just brought out a new one, which they say starts tomorrow, I think it starts the series. All the Light We Cannot See.
Which is?
And it's a World War II series. And it's the final days of World War II, the path of a blind French girl and a German soldier. Apparently what she is, she's broadcasting by radio.
Okay.
And they're trying to find her to kill her. Because she's got such a, if you like, I guess it's blogging of the day of World War II.
Oh, okay,
you know,
the World War II thing, yeah.
And, but she's got sort of such a sort of impact that they're trying to find her, and it's how they keep, and she's blind. And it looks really quite well done, very well done. You've got Coming Soon, let me see, you've got Squid Game, you've got Leo, an animation, The Ninth Gate. Rebellion. I mean, it just goes...
It goes on and on.
On and on and on.
Here's
Tom and Jerry. Yeah.
Here's the thing that's going to happen, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
And this is my prediction. You can write it down and let me know if it comes true.
Uh-huh.
Netflix is going to roll away, and a company is going to emerge that will get the rights to have in one app or in one location Disney Plus, Max, the NBC, Paramount, all those other mm-hmm. streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
And it will literally be like another cable company. Mm-hmm. You will pay $30 a month or $40 a month or whatever, and you will get a bunch of streaming services. In my opinion, it will probably be either Amazon or Apple, unless some new company emerges, but they have the infrastructure to do it. Like, hey, just you pay us $40 a month, and you get all these streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going back to cable. It's literally going to happen because at the same time, cable is dying. Disney was involved in a huge thing with the second major cable provider in the States that they were like, hey man, you are charging us for channels nobody watches.
Mm-hmm.
So I need mm-hmm. to give my clients the ability to pick and choose what channels do they want from your catalog. And Disney was like, that's not how it works. You got to pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I'm sorry, then I will take you off the air. And Disney had ended up making a deal in which they give their cable subscribers access to Disney Plus,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to put the channels on the cable they don't, because how cable works in the States is the cable, the you as a client pay for channels you don't watch. Mm-hmm. You're paying for ESPN. Mm-hmm. You're paying for Disney Junior. You're paying for all those channels.
Mm.
And Disney's getting all that money without you ever watching that channel.
Exactly.
That was a gold mine in the 2000s. Not anymore. So it's going to be interesting what happens in the next 5 years. It's a very short-term thing. We will see what happens with streaming services. We will see what happens with Netflix. We will see what happens with cable. In my opinion, what's going to happen is you're going to bundle all those streaming services, and some company's going to be like, I'll charge you $40 for it, and you'll see everything with ads.
I mean, I think, like cable. I have cable and wireless, their cable service. And I watch probably 4 or 5 channels on there, and Christina, she likes to watch the Chinese channels, CGTN, people and that. But if we don't pay what they want, we don't get them because they're not on a lower plan. You can't, you know?
Correct.
I like to watch BBC World
Service. So how many channels do you have?
Oh,
200?
Hundreds, you know. And I don't need them. And
but it works. Every owner of that channel gets some of your money. Every owner. Doesn't matter if you don't watch it. Every single owner of every one of those 200 channels gets a slice. That's how they made so much money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's changing. That model is changing. It's going to be interesting what happens again.
Well, if I was able to, I suppose I can do it on TV, or I subscribe to BBC.
Correct.
BBC iPlayer. And then I will get all their content. But the thing is, of course, you've got the same problem with all this thing is where you are in the world. And copyright. Copyright kills so much crap. I mean, why can't everybody do what everybody else does? Like, can we do what you do
that's,
with
That's
with
what
music?
Netflix did. Netflix was like, I'm going to provide my content to everybody in the world exactly at the same time. It doesn't matter.
No. I mean, I've noticed big time with Netflix. We're not sort of isolated like we used to be.
No, not at all.
You know, when it comes to what we watch. There's another one, a good one, coming out called Bodies, which is going to be interesting. It's murders that took place at different times, different times in the... Let me see if I can just get...
By the way, you know who's making... Who had an amazing quarter because of the actors and writers strike? Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a bunch of international providers of content. Mm-hmm. They have the Spanish telenovelas and the Korean things and stuff, and people keep watching it. People keep watching, and they have a lot of game shows and stuff, and people kept watching Netflix. Everybody nowadays, there's stats how many times you turn on Netflix in a week, and it's becoming the new cable. You turn on TV, and the first stop you do is Netflix to see what's on you. You don't go to Max, you don't go to Paramount Plus, you don't go to Amazon Prime, you don't go to Disney Plus. You go when there is an announcement of a new show you want to watch, not as a religion thing.
There's only one I'm tempted to rejoin, which is BritBox.
You've told me this, yeah.
But again, I have to use a VPN.
Yeah.
Which, you know, why? I mean, if you look, another thing I don't understand, BBC is government-owned.
Yeah.
Okay? They have got so much content, classic content, on the TV, on everything, going back years and years and years. Why aren't they doing the same thing? Why aren't they sort of saying, okay, well, you subscribe, you get all of our catalogue. Not just what they're doing on iPlayer.
Because remember, it's not them.
Yeah, but the thing is, it belongs to the government, and they complain because they're not making money, or they do this. But of course they're not making money.
Remember, the network belongs to the government, not the content. The content is made by some studio.
Well, the BBC is owned by the government.
But is BBC... But I'm sure there's other production companies making those shows, not just BBC.
No, the BBC makes so much of their own content.
It's literally their content.
It's their content.
They put the money to put that show
on.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, there'll be movies or whatever they play on. When you look back at all the old comedy programs, all the murder mystery shows and stuff like that, made by the BBC. And nobody, even today, nobody beats BBC for documentaries.
I guess, yeah.
And they do those hand in hand or something. And some of the programs, I was watching something, I think it was on Netflix, and it was in conjunction with BBC. It was a double whammy.
There you go.
But the thing is now, as a consumer, you get so pulled between one thing and the other. I mean, it's like now, what do we do for music? Well, I use Spotify. And I can get any type of music. I mean, if I have an artist coming in and I'm looking for music, we had Dania Dalman in here yesterday. Bang, I go on Spotify, I've got all her music that I can see. So, sorry, we're keeping you awake. Is that,
No. I got a message.
There was a ding-dong.
No, there wasn't.
Earlier I heard a ding-dong.
Earlier, but not now. Yeah, no, I just got a message.
Is it good news?
No, somebody asking me a question.
Well, I'm surprised.
No worries. I'll answer them after.
Okay, I just wondered.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, I know you're a busy man.
I am a busy man, but I'm here, man.
But don't come so early next time.
I didn't know what to expect.
I know. It's always lovely to have you with us.
They gave you a little shout out.
BritBox is owned by ITV. That's interesting. Yeah, thank you, Paul, for that. Yeah.
You check it out.
I do like BritBox, but BritBox you can subscribe to through Amazon Prime.
Listen, what Netflix needs to do now, which the little jinx they have in their armor, is the fact that big budget movies don't make sense. Like, for Netflix, it doesn't make sense to have a $200+ million movie because they will never get that money back. And their quality of the films are so-so as of today. That can change. But where they have the amazing is that $60 million movie, that $70 million movie, which just doesn't make theaters anymore. Those budgets are, well, look at this movie. This movie, 200 plus, and it did not show up, and it did not make money in theater. It didn't make sense in theater.
Well, I told you, didn't I? When I had my own oil company or my own trading company in Brook Street in London, and they put the guy who was financing us, putting up our financing with the oil companies, he bought a movie company.
Yeah.
And they were all working down on the far end of the floor we were working on. And no wonder they're sort of, I mean, everybody and their dog is there, you know? Talk about waste of money, and they're out boozing, and they're out dining, and they're whatever. And, you know, no wonder the credits are getting longer than the movie. Probably not Martin Scorsese. I mean, because it's 3.5 hours long.
It's very long.
But just look at the ridiculous lanes ever. A guy who goes and walks a dog. You know, they've got to have his name on there. You know,
the dog walker guy.
Yeah. It's like here in Paitea, you know.
There you go.
But you see what I'm getting at? It's waste. There doesn't seem to be control on what they're spending. And it's a job for their friends, you know, to get their buddies. Oh, my cousin, he knows how to paint. I'll get him to paint the scenery, you know.
Amen. All I know is Ted Sarandos is getting a big bonus. Coming, the CEO of Netflix is getting a big bonus at the end of the year.
Well, they've done it. They're quite keen because they got to a stage where they
were having money.
Because people were cheating.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, no.
They've managed to, and they said...
They grew some subscribers.
But the thing is, they found a way to stop it. And I think quite right. And you can subscribe to family members.
Correct.
They've been able to stop people outside of your family using the...
Agreeing. No, they reported they made, I think, $1.8 billion so far this year. And every other company is losing billions of dollars with
and
the direct
consumer. And they don't advertise. But they're going to.
Netflix is advertising right now.
And
they started.
You can get a cheaper subscription.
Get cheaper and get some advertising. It's not big, the number, yet. A lot of people are still staying with a non-advertising tier, I guess. Yeah. But, again, they reported $1.8 billion in profit. The other companies are losing billions of dollars. When I'm saying billions, I'm not exaggerating. I think Disney has lost $3 billion this year with Disney+. Max is losing, $600 million. It's ridiculous.
You want to see the figures for The Breakfast Show, for God's sake.
Are we losing those kind of money?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man, I'm going to start having to charge you less.
Yeah, bring us... I know. How many biscuits do I have to get next week?
Yeah.
We haven't got any right now. Anyway, listen, great to see you as always.
Yes.
We'll see you all being well next week.
Yeah, I think it's...
Okay, it's a
work day. It's a work day.
It's a three-day week next week.
It's a four-day... No, a Friday's off as well?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Nobody's going to work.
The 10th.
That's the worst.
Yeah. That's cool.
I think my daughter has the week off.
That's cool.
Nobody wants to go to school anymore.
I never wanted to go to school when I was supposed to go anyway. Anyway, Andreas, thanks as always. And we'll see you next week.
Take care.
And if you want to come in early, you can come in early.
Yeah,
you know.
Thank you. That's
we'll just knock it off.
I feel so.
We'll just knock it off the money we pay you.
Okay.
Andreas Clementi. Time on The Breakfast Show. Top of the hour. And what are we going to do at the top of the hour? Going to do this.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
As we make our way to this year's holiday season, a great time, of course, to spend with family and friends. Well, let's not also forget the less fortunate. So why not have a great time and help others as well? The British Charitable Foundation is happy to announce the 20th annual British Haul. It's going to be on Saturday the 2nd of December at the Miramar Intercontinental Hotel. Come along and join us for that champagne reception, a sit-down dinner, open bar, DJ and dancing until you drop. And you can have all of that for a donation of $135 per person. Ladies, do come glamorous. And men, well, see if you can find that black tie. All you've got to do, if you're interested in tickets, you can go directly to the booking form at www.bit.ly/2023 British Ball Tickets. Or for any queries or questions, you can also email the organisers at info@britishballpanama.com. Come along, join us, have a great time, and give help to others as well.
It's Morning Radio, the breakfast show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
we go. That's the Moody Blues, and I'm just a singer in a rock and roll band. Time on the Breakfast Show, 17 and a half after the hour of 9 o'clock here on 89.3 Call FM. Still to come, probably in around about 7 or 8 minutes' time, we're going to be connecting up with Simone Bernard, president and co-founder of the Plastic Odyssey, which is a French boat. Which is bringing awareness of plastic waste and linking up with local entrepreneurs, etc., that are dealing with the issue. And, well, let's get rid of all this nasty stuff. There's still to come. Right now, though, this is Chaka Khan and Every Little Thing.
Somebody's yearning. Restless night. Wanna be with you. Someone's playing in the garden. So enticing. Should I take a bite?
Chaka Khan, that's Call and a Gang. By the way, Chaka Khan, Every Little Thing, and this one Misled by Call and the Gang. You're listening to us on 89.3, of course, Call FM, smoothest place near Radio Dial. And right, let's see, what do we got? I tell you what, this is Laid Back and Slow Motion Girl. We're just going to get a connection, hopefully, with our guest this morning. Mm-hmm.
Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Bianco, is there, and Golden Days. Looks like we're having a bit of a problem getting our connection with the Plastic Odyssey. We've managed to get the agency over there in Costa Rica, which is where the agency is. Of course, the vessel is down there at Coronado, as I believe. Lots of traffic problems out there as well, so I don't know if that's, I doubt if that's something to do with it, but maybe to do with internet. We'll keep trying. If we get them online, we'll interrupt the music and come straight to you, okay? This is Duran Duran. Wings, what it's called. 22 before the hour of 10 o'clock.
Shh.
Tell you what, looks like we might have a bit of lotus hold on 1 second. Good morning. Are you there, Simon? Hello? Good morning, Simon? Try again. Good morning, Simon. Are you with us?
Yes, good morning.
Oh, good morning. We made it. Simon, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very good.
Very good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're fine, Simon. We got you on online. Simon Bernard, president and co-founder of Plastic Odyssey.
Yeah, it's very nice to be with you today.
Likewise, Sam. Tell us, because we're going to be a little bit tight on time, but tell me, just give us a quick background of the Plastic Odyssey.
Well, the Plastic Odyssey is a 3 years expedition around the world to find solution and share the best solutions to reduce plastic pollution. So we are not tackling the plastic that is already in the ocean, but we are focusing on solutions in cities to recycle plastic and also alternatives to the use of plastic.
Right, and because the things, I mean, I believe your vessel is at Coronado, is that correct?
Yeah, the vessel is in Vista Mar Marina.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. About 2 hours driving from Panama City.
That's, of course, if we can right now. No doubt you're aware of some of the issues we've got.
Yeah, it's a bit complicated for us also to receive people from Panama, but I hope we will manage to at least visit some of the local entrepreneurs that already recycle plastic.
I hope so, because one of the things that we've... as if you like, with our fight against plastic pollution, we've started off trying to tackle the rivers, and they've got some quite sophisticated collection systems on the rivers here in Panama, one in particular. But how do you see, Simon, that some of the best ways that people can prevent this?
So the best way to prevent this is obviously to reduce the use of plastic by finding alternatives and refusing plastic bags, plastic bottles. So that's, let's say, the first action as a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
But then for the plastic that is already here, for all the plastic we still consume and produce.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea is to turn that into a useful product and create local economies. So that's why we work with local entrepreneurs to set up small-scale recycling factories.
Mm-hmm.
And we develop that in containers, small maritime containers.
Oh, excellent.
To transform the plastic. And the idea is to make new products like building materials,
mm-hmm.
plastic lumbers, tiles for the roofs or for pavements, lumbers for furniture to replace woods. So the idea is really, how can we turn a trash that has no value into a resource, into mm-hmm. a valuable resource with a valuable, with a sustainable business model?
Mm. And even
that's the answer to.
Yeah, I even heard, Simon, some places they've actually tried using recycled plastic for actually road surfacing.
Yes, so you can do many things. The challenge is really to find what product, what will you do with the plastic
exactly.
that will be used, that is useful in each country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the challenge every time.
Exactly. And how do you sort of go about it? I mean, you're visiting Panama, obviously, for the first time here in Panama. So how do you go about getting the interest? I see you're hopefully meeting with entrepreneurs that we have here that are dealing with this. We've started to get a few more places now where we can dispose of not just plastic, but waste in general. How do you go about this here? For instance, let's take Panama for example. How are you going about that here in Panama?
We had the chance to visit the San Blas archipelago
mm-hmm,
last
mm-hmm,
week
mm-hmm.
To meet the local communities and to see the challenges related to waste management on these islands,
mm-hmm.
but also working with local communities on solutions to all this plastic to transform. For example, we made a prototype of a floating pontoon using plastic lumbers and plastic bottles
mm-hmm.
to make this kind of floatable
like
pontoon.
Right.
So that was a prototype we managed to do, and it was interesting to discover this community of Panama, because that would be one of the first community to be touched by, you know, the sea level rise.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of solutions to find, and there is a problem of plastic waste management, obviously, on those islands. So it was very interesting to try to find solutions here, and hopefully we will manage to visit also recycling factories making madera plastica,
mm-hmm.
plastic lumbers,
mm-hmm.
in Panama. So we hope also to discover new solutions here.
Well, that's excellent. I mean, because one of the issues I guess that we really do have here is that we don't have recycling on a large scale. We don't have a, we're still putting all our garbage in the ground at various places. But what we do need is a full recycling system whereby we already have our plastics and our glasses or whatever segregated. And how do you see, you know, when you're visiting other countries, you've just been to Colombia. When you're traveling around, how do you see the various countries that are developing their systems? Because I notice here, it says your numbers, that Panama generates 191,580 tons of plastic waste each year, the second largest producer of waste in Latin America, and probably one of the smallest countries.
That's right. Well, we obviously see a lot of plastic every time we stop, because obviously we are focusing on countries
mm-hmm.
Where there is a challenge of plastic management, of waste management in general. But we also like to discover and to talk about solutions. So what is interesting for us is not only looking at the problem and the scale of the pollution we see, but also meeting people, innovators, entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
with great solutions. So in, for example, in Bogota in Colombia, we met Silvio, who managed to create a network of 60,000 workers from the collection of plastic up to the construction
mm-hmm.
of a full house made of plastic. So this kind of solutions of stories can be shared and replicated in other countries. And I think you're right, there is a big amount of plastic produced and consumed in Panama, so there is a challenge of reducing the use and the consumption of plastic, but you can also inspire new entrepreneurs to set up local recycling facilities, in order to transform this trash into an economic model.
And you say that, I think you mentioned, Simon, that you're using sort of container systems. I guess these are containers which you've basically turned into places for recycling?
A factory.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The idea is to develop small-scale turnkey factories so that anybody wanted to become a professional of plastic recycling and launch an initiative could do that almost from scratch everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to find a source of energy, but it can be solar powered. And then you can just set up a very small scale factory to turn plastic into new products.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. So we've installed three of them in West Africa for now, and we're planning to expand to find new people interested, whether it is entrepreneurs or local investors willing to contribute into this larger ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds a perfect match for us here, really. Because, I mean, one of the things that I mentioned we're doing with one of the entrepreneurs here, they've got a system. I don't know if you've heard about it yet, but they've got a system which is actually solar powered, which is a system which actually pulls the plastics, the rubbish out of the rivers, and then that goes into to storage. But of course, what you're talking about now with these container systems is an ideal match, because once you've got all this stuff, then what are you going to do with it?
Exactly. The key point is really transformation, turning this plastic into something. If you manage to do that, then you can pay for the plastic. So you can buy plastic waste. So then it starts to be collected, segregated. So that the challenge is really how you turn something that has no value into something that has value.
Exactly. And how long you're going to be here in? Oh, you're going to be here in Panama for how long? You're going to be here until the 7th of November.
Yes, that's correct. And so hopefully we will manage to see a lot of people. Yesterday we received about 80 people from the neighborhood of Vistama. Hopefully we can do that again and invite more people to discover the vessel and to also talk about the opportunities in terms of recycling, in terms of alternatives to plastic as well.
With the problems we've got, as I said, with, you know, people being able to move around, is there any opportunity for you to bring the vessel up to Panama City?
We were planning to do so, but unfortunately, it was a bit complicated with the situation, and also the harbor is the commercial harbor was not, you know, fitted for this kind of small expedition vessel. So I think for this time it's going to be complicated to come up to Panama City, but hopefully another time.
Yeah, you're going to have to go around again, Simon.
Exactly.
Never ending
exactly.
story.
Exactly, but the team's going to come to Panama City without the boat. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. That's good. That's super.
So we're very keen on meeting people interested in that. Are in Panama City and want to learn more about the project, we are planning to come.
Oh, okay. Well, do let us know, you know, when you're going to come up and where you're going to be, because I know I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of people interested in this, and hopefully with your container system as well, which sounds very, very good. Well,
yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, look, thanks for being with us. Sorry about our problems with getting linked up with you this morning, but keep up the great work. We need more. You know, I sort of have this sort of idea, and I'd like, if I was a sort of multi-billionaire, I would go out and I would buy a few of these old ULCCs, ultra large crude carriers, and have them refitted exactly. So that you could water could run through the ship itself, but it would keep all the plastic, and I'd send it out to these plastic islands in the middle of the oceans. I mean, that is really terrible.
Yeah, well, the challenge is we talk a lot about plastic in the ocean, but actually there is not a lot of plastic floating. The majority, like 99% of the plastic, is actually on the bottom of the
ocean. Oh, really?
So,
really, yeah.
Yeah, so there is no floating islands. I mean, there is a bigger concentration of microplastic in the Pacific than elsewhere, but we cannot clean up the ocean, unfortunately. So that's why even though we have a boat, a big boat, we're not trying to clean up the ocean, but rather to fix the problem before.
To stop it getting there in the first place, absolutely. Well, look, Simon Bernard, President and Co-Founder of Plastic Odyssey, thank you for a start, for visiting us here in Panama. And let's hope you're successful. I'll be very interested to hear how you get on, Simon.
Thanks a lot. And don't hesitate to visit our website and contact us through the contact link.
We're going to put all that info on our website as well today. So, again, look, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Wish you all the best of luck. And I'll be glad to hear some success stories coming out of this here in Panama.
Thanks a lot. We keep you updated.
All right.
Have a great day.
And to you, Simon. Thank you very much. And to your crew.
Thank you.
There we go. That's very nice. Simon Bernard there, President and Co-Founder of Plastic Odyssey, which is out there doing some great work. We're going to put some information on our website today. I know Yasmin is in touch with the agents over there in Costa Rica, so hopefully we'll be able to get some information from them as to when that visit is likely to take place to the city. Because what a great idea, these are little factories made of containers. Well, that's it. That's brought us to the end of this morning's breakfast show. Again, let me say a big thank you to Simon Bernard, President and co-founder of the Plastic Odyssey, and we wish them all the very, very best. To Andreas for being with us this morning, Andreas Clementi for our movie review for this week, and also mustn't miss out Yasmin. We haven't had a chance to chat with Yasmin this morning. I'll shout across, good morning. She shouted back. So we'll make up for it tomorrow, yes? We've got all soft music tomorrow. Yeah. So big thanks to Yasmin doing all our production work there, trying to help us get that connection we got there in the end. And also big thanks to my co-producer, Neil Danby, over there in the United Kingdom. And he's looking at getting his flights booked to get here for New Year, which will be very nice. So big thanks to Neil. Big thanks to the boys and girls of Grupo Grad who keep us up and running. And as always to you, our listeners, our advertisers and sponsors. Thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show on 89.3 Cool FM. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Tomorrow's All Souls Day tomorrow, if I'm correct. And so it's going to be a smooth morning tomorrow morning. So I'm going to be able to have a little rummage around the music collection and play some of the stuff that I don't get to play so often here on the program. So remember, back with you tomorrow, 7 o'clock in the morning. Whatever it is you're going to be doing between now and then, what do we say? Please do it carefully. Why do we say it? Because I want to be talking to you tomorrow, not talking about you. For me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-ta. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Karas, co-producer Neil Danby.